Welcome to the Anonymous Andrew Modern Dating Podcast, your guide to navigating dating apps and making real-life connections. In this season, I break down killer profiles, spot red flags, and share tips for sparking conversations that truly lead somewhere. Whether you're new to the dating scene or just looking for fresh insights, it's time to swipe smart, date better, and find your perfect match. Greetings and welcome to the Anonymous Andrew Modern Dating Podcast Weekend Rant or Weekend Edition. I don't know. I'm not ranting lately, really. The rant started off as me bitching and moaning about something. And I have to tell you, life, pretty good these days. So I just either don't see things the way I did a couple of months ago or whatever. So, but going to continue with the weekend edition because that's when I get to talk to you guys about my dating life and what I'm finding out for you. So last week we left off with artificial intelligence, and it's interesting that I dug deep into that. I wanted to investigate the world of AI and dating, and I'm not going to claim that that was my idea, but I have heard about four different podcasts in the past week all talk about AI and the dating world. And there's several aspects of the dating world intertwining with AI. So, number one, there are new dating apps that are using AI to help you find your match. And I've been complaining, like everybody else, about the dating apps not doing anything different. Well, I heard about a new dating app, and no, I'm not getting paid for this, and I don't have it yet, and I might look into it depending on how much it costs and if it's even got enough people on it. But there's a new dating app called Iris Dating, I-R-I-S, as in the iris of your eye. And what it does after you sign up, and again, I didn't download it and go through it, but from what I'm hearing or heard on another podcast, is you download the app and you upload your profile, and I don't know what that even looks like, but they immediately start showing you your opposite sex or the gender that you prefer. Okay. And I think it's like 10, 15, 20. I don't know if there's a free version or if there's a paid version, but they start showing you all these different people of the gender that you choose. And you start liking or maybe. So you say like, maybe, or no. And the AI behind the platform starts to learn the facial recognition of the type of person you like. So you might have seen AI facial dating on like TV shows like FBI, all the crime dramas, the new ones out there. As you know, there's cameras everywhere. If you're living in a major metropolitan area like New York City, LA, Chicago, probably Dallas, Miami, they have cameras on every single street corner. So you can't walk down the street without being monitored. And for example, I watch FBI, which is on Paramount. And I think it's a great show. It's put out by Dick Wolf, who did Law and Order. And every episode, they're looking for the bad guy. And they're scouring the streets of New York City. And yeah, they find him over on 47th and Lexington or something. And they pick him up because facial recognition said, hey, we got him. So, which is pretty fucking incredible considering how many millions of people are walking around New York City every day. So, assuming that law enforcement is really doing this and it's working, why can't AI do this? So, I myself, and I'm sure you do too, have a particular type of person that you're attracted to. So, mine is Latina and or Asian and or a cross between the two. And of course, I'm not abandoning my American girls. I do like the American ladies too. All right, so, but they have to have a particular body physique, but more importantly, the face, all right? So they're going to show you on this new dating app a whole bunch of pictures. And I think the idea is that the dating app is going to learn your type, your facial type. And then they go further. I may or may not put this in the show notes. They're claiming there's three types of attraction. There's lust. There's I just fucking watched the video. There's lust. There's something else which produces the oxytocin. So in other words, there's lust. So you see somebody and you go, oh, I want to fuck them. Then there's the second one where you see somebody and you're just dreamy about them. You're like, oh, she's beautiful or he's beautiful. And your oxytocin starts kicking in and you get all the butterflies. But there's no lust. You just like, you want to get to know them more. And then there's a third attraction style. And I don't remember what it is. Okay, it's not important at this point. I'll download the app and I'll check it out. But the podcast or the news source that I got this from said they only have 4 million people worldwide. And they said, compared to Match.com, they have 15 million people. So they're already short 11 million people, which means that if I'm looking for somebody in the greater New York City area, which, you know, I've talked to you guys many times about how I'm not going to travel too far, I have a feeling they're not going to have people in my area. 4 million people globally? I'm not going to do the math, but if there's, let's say, 50 major cities in the United States, everything from, like I said, New York, Chicago, Dallas, Philadelphia, Miami, Phoenix, Las Vegas, San Diego. We could go on. You got Colorado, whatever. You get the idea. So you divide that into 4 million. You might, I don't know, maybe 500 people per city. So it may not be enough because I already have another dating app that does the video dating, which I really, really like the concept. I've told you guys that if you like somebody, you click on them, and if they like you back, you have to video date. You cannot chat. You have to go on a video call. I like that feature, but there's not enough people in my area. Every single time I go on there, it's like 90 miles away. So I have a feeling this new Iris AI dating is going to be the same problem. It's not going to have enough people in my area. Okay, that's one side of the AI dating. So the dating apps, or at least one of them, is starting to redo or reconfigure their algorithm, and they're coming at it completely different, and I like that. If they're going to learn that I like Asian, Latina, or a cross between. And when I say Asia, it could be anybody in the Oriental Asian community. You know, it could be Japanese, Korean, China, Filipino even. It's you get the idea. And then, of course, Latina, which is anything from Mexico all the way down to Argentina. And even though Spain isn't Latin, that's where the Spaniards brought the Spanish language to South America. Anyway, I'm rambling as usual. So last week I talked about another type of AI called character AI. And there's several different types, several different websites, and probably more than that, like a dozen, if not more. And there's two types. There's the regular character AI, where it's a chatbot. You literally are talking to an AI chatbot. But you can set all the parameters. For example, this is not what I'm using it for. You want someone to talk to. And it could be male, female, any gender, no gender. It's unlimited what it can do. But you pick an avatar and you write the scenario of what you would like. So you can simply say, hey, I'm a 30-year-old and I'm looking for someone to chat with and with no judgments and blah, blah, blah. And you got to be careful of which one you choose. Some of them will not allow you to talk about certain things, especially if it's illegal. So if it's illegal, do not try to chat with it. And so if you want to just have a chat with an artificial bot, it's incredible the responses that I'm getting. What I'm using it for is I'm setting up scenarios of where I meet women in the real world. And yes, I set up a scenario where I'm grocery shopping and I come across a woman in the produce aisle, whatever aisle, and I'm practicing walking up to her, and I can tell the AI to be resistant or flirty or you can tell it what you want it to be. So you can make it challenging where the person is resistant, or you can make it where they're very open to you. That's kind of cheating, because if you make it where it's open, they're open to you confronting them, they're gonna chat back with you. So I'm trying different types of scenarios, where one that they have no interest, and then one when they are interested. I'm just playing with it to see if and when it's something that I can use to practice in. And I'm also doing this so I can do what I'm doing, is I can come to you and tell you guys this stuff is out there, and it's not costly. I don't remember, but it was $6 a month. Pretty cheap. So I'm just reporting to you that if anybody's struggling in approaching people in the real world, you can set up the exact scenario. So let's say that you were at a bar last night. You were at a coffee shop. You were at a barbecue. You were wherever you were, and you came across somebody you found attractive, but you could not figure out a way to step forward and talk to this person. You can create the exact same scenario in this character AI, and you can practice with it. It's pretty fucking cool. And I don't know if and when I'll ever, like, if I go through with this, and because the AI is going to only do what you tell it to do. Like, so you have to set up the scenario. So I don't, like, if I approach the woman in the grocery store in real life, it may not be any of the scenarios that I set up. Okay, let me move on to one more thing that I need to talk about, because it kind of blew my mind. Last week, I said to you guys that I'm having difficulty. So everybody says, you want to meet somebody in the real world, you have to go into the real world. You have to become, or go into a social setting whatever that might be. And of course, I keep using the grocery store. But I also mentioned last week that I play pickleball and that I go every week to what they call a social opening courts, where they take three courts. You have to book it in advance, but you can bring a friend or you can go alone. The idea is that you go alone and you're hoping, and I wish this pickleball court would set up a single social event, because I did tell you last week that when I went there and all the women that I was attracted to turned out to be married, because I could see them wearing the wedding ring. It was like a no-brainer. Today, I get there and there was a woman there that I saw once or twice before. Here's the problem. There's like 16 people. There's three courts. They put four in each court. And actually, there's more than 16. There's four, 12, 8. They have four rollovers. So when you play a game, the losers come off. The winners go. The two people who are waiting go on. So it might be more. It might be 18 people. Half of them or more of them are women. Now, it's not by age group. So there could be 30-year-olds. There could be people my age. Today, I walked in there and I went into my assigned court and I ran into a woman that I've seen there several times, and I went up and said hello, and we started playing. And I don't know, 45 minutes, an hour into playing, it's a two-hour session, we had to get off the court. After you win two in a row, or if you play two in a row, you got to get off the court, let the next two people come on. We were just observing the next game that the people were playing, and the woman turns to me and says, "You're pretty good. You should be..." I should have told you, this is advanced beginner pickleball. She said to me, "I think you should be playing in the intermediate level." You guys know I've been playing tennis for 40 years, so picking up pickleball, it was like a breeze. And yes, I'm getting very good at it. And maybe I should not be an advanced beginner, because today I kicked ass. I won, I don't know, 8 out of 10 games. But the woman was complimenting me. She kept saying how great I was and how, you know, you should move up to the next level. And then the conversation gravitated towards that we're playing indoors. And I said, I really can't wait till the summertime where we can start playing pickleball outdoors. Around me, there's a lot of outdoor pickleball courts. We're down by the beach. So there's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. It's at least 12 courts outside that I know of that we can play during the summer. And right now, I only have a partner of mine, a friend of mine, who I've mentioned on the show before, that he's my tennis partner. So to play a real true game of pickleball, you need four players. Yes, you can play with two, but you really need four. So I said this to the woman. I said, "I can't wait to play outdoor this summer." And when I say it this summer, we're talking a month or two away, because we're already, March 1st is like in 3 days or something. And as soon as March blows by is April. And as long as the temperatures are above 50 or 60, 55 degrees, I'm playing outdoors. I might continue to play indoors occasionally, but outdoor is free. Indoor, you got to pay for it. She said to me, and I said to her, I'm playing outdoors, but my partner and I are only two of us. And she said, "Give me your phone and I'll give you my number. And if you need an extra person." And I said, "Well, I need two." And she said, "Yeah, well, I have a friend." So where am I going with this? I got a phone number today from pickleball, from the woman. And I would put her in the attractive box. She checked off that box. She was attractive. And we exchanged phone numbers. And we took a selfie. And that's something I learned. Somebody on another podcast, and I know I keep referring to other podcasts, but I listen to other podcasts. When you exchange a number with a woman, you give them, you hand her your phone. You say, "Put your number in." And then you take the phone and you take a selfie. And then you text her the picture of the selfie of the two of you. I should have explained that better. You take a picture of the two of you, and then you send that picture to her. So now she knows, because I don't know how many times you've done this, but you put people's numbers in your phone, and then 3 months later, so example, her name, let's say it was Mary, and she didn't want to give me her last name, so she wrote Mary Pickleball. So in 3 months from now, if I don't see this woman, I look on my phone and I see a Mary Pickleball in my contact list, I'm not going to know who the fuck that is. But I can go into my text messages and see, I say that I took a picture of Mary and I, and that will remind me. Anyway, it's a little trick that I picked up along the way. And it also helps them, because if they have the same problem, they don't remember who Andrew is. They can look at the text messages that maybe Andrew and her had, and there will be the photo in the text message. And she'll say, oh, yeah, I know who he is. Anyway. Okay, last thing I'm going to talk about is one of my dating profiles, my dating apps. I've been talking with a woman now. It has to be going on 3 weeks. And it's going nowhere. She'll ask me a question, and then I respond, and she doesn't answer for 3 days. And then she'll answer when she does, and I don't answer for 3 days. And I think it's because I don't think there's anything there. She liked me first. I liked her back. But as the more I look at her profile and chat with her, the less interested I am. So I got to figure a way to kind of cut the ties with this one. Plus, my subscription ends in 2 days, so I may not renew Bumble. I'm going to check out this Iris thing. So, all right, folks, I'm going to keep this weekend rant short. And as always, please, down in the show notes, is buy me a cup of coffee if you can. And please, please, please leave a review and pass this podcast around to a friend, somebody you may know that might benefit from some of the crap that I'm spewing out. So, all right, got a good episode coming up for you on Wednesday. Anonymous Andrew signing off for this weekend. Until next week, ciao.